Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. What we just heard was the very popular music from Lieutenant Kije, a work by Sergei Prokofiev, performed by the Symphony in C, conducted by Rosen Milanov, who is our guest today here on Crossover. I have had some wonderful guests on Crossover throughout the years, and I'm always excited. But today, this is not only a guest, but a friend as well. And it's Rosen Milanov, along with his cohort, Denise Stewart, and I welcome both of you here to Crossover.
Thank you, Jill. Always a pleasure to be here.
It's so wonderful, Rosen, and I'm so thrilled that that we can talk about what's happened to you. And just recently, I believe, you had a new appointment. You have another orchestra that you are going to be conducting, or have you already started the season? What is that?
Yes, that's the orchestra of the National Orchestra of Asturias. And in Spanish, it sounds very exotic and very long, something like Orquestra Sinfónica del Principado de Asturias.
That, I'm impressed already. Yeah.
And it's an orchestra that is based in the city of Oviedo, which is the capital of Asturias. It's one of the most amazing corners of the world, not only with spectacular beauty, the mountains on the background, but also with incredible level of sophistication and culture. It's on the big pilgrimage road to Santiago de Compostela, and it's a city that has existed for a double-digit centuries, at least.
Is that northern Spain?
That's northern Spain.
Northern Spain,
yes.
Because everyone, you know, people, well, they know, of course, Madrid, and then they know, of course, Barcelona for other reasons. Do they play soccer in northern Spain?
Oh, of course, of course.
Okay.
It's as European as any part of of Spain. It's just perhaps culturally and also nature-wise resembles more the British Isles, for instance. Everybody says it looks more like Ireland than anything else.
Really? How beautiful.
And they have also some cultural links through the Celtic culture and its influence in parts of Spain, parts of northern France as well, and also,
I was going to say northern France as well, yeah. But you have, well, first of all, for many of our listeners who are old friends, you remember Rosen Milanov as associate conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra some years back. And then you left there and you took on another orchestra, which was at the time a nice orchestra with some very good players, and you turned it into something very, very special, the Symphony in C.
Yes,
it is now,
that's correct.
Called and known as. And tell us a little bit about that whole journey.
I was extremely fortunate when I came to Philadelphia to live in Philadelphia for a second time in my life. My first time was when I was here for 2 years conducting courses at the Curtis Institute of Music, and then I moved to New York, I went to Chicago, and then there was the Philadelphia Orchestra assistant conducting opening when Maestro Wolfgang Sawallisch was still the music director here.
And how many years were you there, actually?
I was in Philadelphia, I was part of the Philadelphia Orchestra for 11 years. I took my first position with them in the year 2000. And literally 1 week later than my audition with Philadelphia Orchestra, there was the audition for Symphony in C, back then called Haddonfield Symphony.
That was the Haddonfield Symphony. It was a very nice local New Jersey symphony. And there's some very good, you know, freelancers that play, and we're looking for a place to play. And But something happened with that whole experience.
Yes, I started there, and one of the biggest challenges for Haddonfield Symphony at the time was finding our permanent home. This was an orchestra that was traveling a lot in the area of South Jersey. We would perform in various high schools, in the high schools of Cherry Hill or Washington Township. We would go all the way down to Rowan College on occasion. So mm-hmm. it was an orchestra that did not have its permanent home. And when we realized that in order for us to keep growing, we need to be based somewhere where we could work permanently. We could develop a place where the audience could find us, a place where we could connect in a very meaningful way with the community. We discovered a very good partnership in the Rutgers University
yes.
in Camden, and their spectacular acoustically space, the Gordon Theater.
Yes. But then something happened. You got a lot of Curtis students that came in.
Yes, we decided that the mission of the orchestra had to change a little bit because we were fortunate to be located right in the center of this triangle of amazing musical centers here on the East Coast. We are, of course, very close to the fantastic Curtis Institute of Music here in Philadelphia, and also the very strong music department of the Temple University.
Yes, of course.
And we also are only an hour and a half drive on a good day from New York City, where, of course, we have a whole plethora of music schools, such as Juilliard School, Manhattan School of Music, Manes.
Do they come down some of the...
They do, actually. I would say about 40% of the orchestra right now is people that are based in New York City. So they do this drive 2 hours each way.
It's
a huge commitment.
It's
not something that one could just overlook easily, because that also demonstrates how serious these young people are about their obligations to the orchestra.
We just heard the scherzo from Robert Schumann's Symphony No. 2, performed by the Symphony in C, conducted by our guest today, Maestro Rossin Milanov. I have a question about the role of the conductor in a setting like that, say, as opposed to a full, now, I don't want to say full, a professional orchestra, because these students are definitely professional level, the ones that come
down.
There's no question about
yeah.
it. But do you find that your role is slightly different? I mean, you're also teaching in a way. I mean, that's not really what I'm saying, but how do you view this? I mean, you're giving them a very rich experience, and you're giving them a professional experience, but they're professionals already. So what happens there?
There is a very clear understanding the moment they come to this orchestra about two things. First of all, is that they know that this is not going to be their permanent place for the rest of their life, because this is not a 10-year orchestra. This is not an orchestra where you could say, okay, I have achieved my life goal as a musician and I'm going to stay here and make music in this permanent situation. No, they know that this is a place where they could come and play with musicians at a very high level that are their own age. And then they would have the opportunity to have leadership positions, which is very different. When you join this orchestra, you could be playing on the first stand, you could be playing the principal part, you could be playing an assistant principal part, or you could be rotating for that matter. This is something that you don't see in too many orchestras. Normally, if you if you join, let's say, the violin section of the Philadelphia Orchestra, if you're not a title player, you normally are placed at the back of the section.
But then that, I guess, is the thing that gives it the name of a training orchestra, because that's what happens, especially in conservatories. You rotate, you know, positions, especially the string section, I guess, well, every section. But that, in a way, takes away from, I feel, your performance as a very, very fine conductor and performances by people that happen to be graduates of music schools and are in the professional world. So you're a great experience for them, and they're playing pretty well.
They are. I mean, so I wish I could take all the credit for their fantastic performances. Of course, they're great, because in order to get into this orchestra, you have to really compete at a very high level for the few open spots. I just finished 3 days of very intense auditions. I heard more than 350 people from every major school. We had people coming all the way from Yale, and people all the way south from Peabody. And the people that managed to get the permanent positions in the orchestra are people that probably would be able to get any position in any major orchestra in the world.
If anybody was hiring these
days. Exactly, if everybody was hiring these days. So for me, it's really to make sure that they are guided in the right direction, that they're given the opportunity to play a repertoire which is meaningful for them, repertoire that probably they did not have a chance to necessarily play in the conservatories where they normally would perform for the last 3 or 4 years of their education. I would also, one of the other important things that I treat them in a very creative way. I treat them as partners in what we are preparing together. I look for that extra inspiration, which in a professional situation, sometimes you don't have time, or maybe that approach would be a little bit out of the appropriate way of treating professional musicians. But I challenge them, I inspire them to really use that very safe environment, being in an orchestra, to really give it all, to risk it all, to experiment even. Because they are not going to have that chance if you know that every performance, at least for the first year, is going to be judged towards your tenure review at the end of it. And this is what makes a big difference here, that there is a lot of risk. There is a lot of exploration, not only on my part as a conductor, but also on their side as well. I want them to be as creative as they could possibly be, without worrying about anything else.
We've just heard the opening of Franz Josef Haydn's oratorio, The Creation, performed by Symphony in C, conducted by Maestro Rossin Milanov. Now, Rossin, you are not only the conductor here, Maestro, but you also have, how many other orchestras?
Well, at the moment I have three, including Symphony in C. Princeton Symphony Orchestra, 40 miles away from here.
Are they of the same? Located. Is this the same ilk?
No, Princeton is it's a professional orchestra. It's an orchestra with a tenured process. You know, also an orchestra with long history and tradition. But the composition is very different than Symphony in C. And of course, I have the orchestra in Spain. I recently am no longer officially affiliated with the orchestra in Bulgaria.
I was just going to ask you.
Which I was at the helm for
many years.
years. 18 years, to be absolutely precise. And now I'm the conductor laureate of that group. So
it should make you feel old right off the bat.
Yeah, well, it's
or experience.
I take this title more as a recognition of the fact that I built this orchestra to where it is nowadays, and there is always this element when you look at conductors that would like to grow roots of the place that it has been a lot like this in the past. And honestly, every orchestra that has some sort of a history has started by having that particular approach of building the orchestra from the ground up. And this orchestra in Bulgaria gave me that opportunity to really build something completely new musically, but also as a structure. Because when I started with the orchestra, Bulgaria was a country that did not really have any private initiative as far as the culture was concerned. And this was the first private orchestra in the entire Eastern Bloc at the time. And that was an orchestra that set an example at the time for the entire Eastern Europe of how classical music could be sponsored not only by the government, but by a board of directors, by a large group of people that have very similar interests. And in other words, promoting somewhat the American model.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. So because we have a lot of trouble with orchestras in this country, and that's a whole other subject. But, I mean, it is and it isn't, because you are... There are orchestras that are thriving that maybe are not the major ones, or are threatened. We have a situation where they're threatened. And and one wonders, I mean, you have boards and you have, I guess, supporters. You don't have state support, I don't think, or
no. No, normally you would not have state. In Spain, we do have state support. In Spain, for my Spanish orchestra, actually 90% of the bill is paid by the government.
Okay, so that's
the traditional European way, and I think a lot of orchestras also in France and also in Germany, maybe in some of the Scandinavian countries, would probably be funded using very similar model. But certainly there are other places that do not have the support of the government on that level.
And it's very interesting to see that, because you have a lot of smaller orchestras in Europe that are
To remember is that, for instance, you take any of the European countries, and as far as social fabric, they are very homogeneous. Spain, for instance, where I am, everybody speaks Spanish, everybody looks exactly the same. There is no minority cultures. And you, in a way, cater to people that are very similar in their tastes, very similar in their social level. And this somehow makes things a little bit easier, perhaps, because here in the States, I think the culture is so much connected with the rise and fall of a particular city or a particular area.
Or of donations or supporters.
Yeah, or even the change of culture.
The boards.
What the culture in the state was, mm-hmm. in the States was 25 years ago, now is very, very different. It's just the way the social components are shifting, and the way even like people relocate themselves to live, almost like based on even like an educational census.
Right.
Is a process that is very interesting that's happening right now here in the States. And orchestras are in a situation when they obviously do not have any more the support of the people that used to support them.
Well, it's the boards,
yet,
and the money people.
You find yourself in a society which is predominantly composed now of people that do not have the classical music as part of their culture or upbringing, or even as part of their cultural interests, and then. You need to find another way, whether if it's going to be diversifying and making yourself a little bit more culturally open, or whether you could take the other approach of billing yourself as an organization that sells a luxury item which is timeless and stands behind, like a good museum, which stands behind the big masterpieces that they could display without necessarily having to open a modern wing of that museum that could be the main attraction. So there is a lot of decisions that one that's at a leadership position of a cultural organization has to take and has to make nowadays. And it's not very easy because there is no standard recipe. You can't go to a doctor and say,
What should we do?
Give you a broad spectrum antibiotic that is going to kill everything else.
We've just heard the opening to Bernd Zimmermann's violin concerto performed by violinist Leila Josefowicz with the Symphony in C, conducted by our guest today, Rosin Milanov. Now, you have been joined by a very capable lady that I've known for years, Denise Stewart. Welcome once again also to Crossover. You are a person who has been associated with opera for many, many, many years, and now you're working with this fine conductor. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and what how you feel about this whole, you have evolved into a, you've morphed, let's put it that way.
Well, I morphed from working in the development department at the Academy of Vocal Arts into PR and marketing, and now I'm back in development. I'm the new director of development at Symphony in C, a symphony orchestra whose mission is very near to my heart. The music is incredible, and when I first went to a Symphony in C concert, I was absolutely astounded. I brought some young singer friends of mine who were in their 20s to the concert, and they were absolutely astounded. The energy from a whole orchestra of 20-somethings at peak performance level really jumps off of the stage and permeates every part of you. I also happen to live in South Jersey and have a wide group of friends and people I know, so I automatically bring with me a support group. And I'm having a lot of fun introducing the symphony to my friends on both sides of the river. And, of course, yes, I do have an operatic background. I am a performer, former professional
yes.
opera singer. But I kind of gave up that business quite a few years ago.
Well,
but
that's
still love it.
That brings up a point. Maybe you'll have some concerts that would be opera.
I already have scheduled because of Denise.
See,
I saw the
twinkle
saw
in his eye.
Right?
Yeah. I just had to ask you. Yeah, I mean that's a whole new repertoire.
You see, she's got this absolutely uniquely positive energy that just oozes out of her, and all her friends they have somewhat vocal background, so it's so nice. You could always identify Denise's friends in the audience because they have very, very similar bubbling personality.
Well,
singers. Yeah.
We may have some concert opera then.
My friends have even soloed with Symphony in C in recent years. I know Chloe Moore was a soprano soloist in our Concert of the Creation this past spring.
Yeah.
She is a very good friend, and I think she's a wonderful singer, and there's lots of others that I know, so we'll see.
You know, I have to say that just speaking to you, both of you as well, is very exciting for me because all we get is news of doom and gloom, that this orchestra is going under, this conductor is not going to be there, they've canceled the season, they shortened the season. Opera is alive and well, really booming, but this orchestral situation it's very depressing, and well, Rosin, I'm so thrilled for you because you have another venue, actually. You're going to be bringing your talents abroad, and you are also continuing with your work here. And I think you have a lot of new things on the horizon here. So what I wanted more than ever was to to tell the audience that there's a great symphony across the river, and we have some very, very talented people involved on all levels. Music next of Astor Piazzolla. Here is the opening to his Four Seasons of Buenos Aires, performed by the Symphony in C, conducted by Maestro Rosin Milanov. Music of Astor Piazzolla, we heard the opening to the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires, performed by the Symphony in C, Rosin Milanov conducting. Now, you have a new album, is that right?
Yes,
or
this
an
is
album.
With my is Spanish
first?
Orchestra uh-huh. as the first. We decided to do a series of Diaghilev commissioned ballets
okay.
or the Ballet Russe related
yes.
works. And there is a vast number of works that are just waiting to be discovered. And that first album that we recorded consists of two pieces, of course. One of them is the very popular Stravinsky's ballet Petrushka, and the other one is perhaps the most important Spanish ballet from the period, the one by Manuel de Falla called El Sombrero de Tres Picos,
or yes, the
Three-Cornered Hat.
Yes.
And this is the complete recording of the ballet, not just the suites, and it also features a singer, Denise, and we've used an authentic flamenco singer by the name of Ginesa Ortega that sings the part in a true flamenco style. So it's something that I hope
exciting.
You don't find every day.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to take pictures? Are you going to have films or anything like that?
Yes. The orchestra there is extremely flexible. And it's as far as I'm concerned, I view the area is a vast land when one could expand and one could experiment with a lot of new ideas and a lot of new approaches to what we do. And one of the interesting things that we are doing very soon is performance of Verdi's Requiem at one of the most important sanctuaries for the entire Spain, which happens to be in Asturias, in the mountains.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's called Covadonga, and it's the place where the Spanish Reconquista started back in medieval time. So this is going to be something very special, and I hope that in the future we could connect even more the Symphony Orchestra of Asturias, and not only the Symphony Orchestra, I think it applies to any orchestra anywhere, with kind of local tradition, with even promotion of tourism, even promotion of music is a great ambassador that has that incredible opportunity to win people and to it's wonderful when the music is it becomes the soundtrack of the life of a particular city. And in this case, I think this is perhaps one of the recipes that the symphony orchestras and the cultural institutions could survive, when maybe they look for those local connections more, to see how can we become the soundtrack of the life of the city.
Well, I certainly think that Symphony in C has done that. I think you've made a name for yourself, and people do go now. They cross over the
bridge.
They
do cross. It's very, very easy. Actually, there is the Patco speed line. It takes exactly 8 minutes from Center City.
Yes.
To literally stop to 300 feet from the concert
hall. It's very convenient, and I guess we should probably stress that more. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty myself of that. I guess I can take that. So in any case, well, it's been so exciting to speak with you and to hear of all the plans and to feel so close to your wonderful orchestra right across the river. And also, we have to plan a little trip to Spain, I think.
Oh, you absolutely have to. And if you don't want to do it for anything else, just do it for the amazing food.
Okay, well, you just
it's one of the world's best cuisines.
And it's,
unfortunately, not very discovered in the States, you know.
Oh, Spanish? Oh, it's amazing. I think we paella is probably the only thing that we really know, but there's a lot to be, you know, happy about, and especially that we have such talent here, right in our studio. It's a pleasure to speak to both of you. The very, very best, Rawson, in your new venture, and of course, Denise as well in your new venture, and all of the gorgeous things that are going to happen because of them. Thanks again.
Thank you, Jill.
We've been speaking with Maestro Rawson Milanov, conductor of Symphony in C. Symphony in C performs at the Gordon Theater on the campus of Rutgers University in Camden. For more information, go to symphonyinc.org. You can also hear the Symphony in C concert series on WRTI throughout the season. Hear now the last movement of Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, The Great Gate of Kiev, performed by Symphony in C, conducted by Rawson Milanov. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.